Welcome back to Better Call Sex. And by the end of this episode, you'll be convinced that I'm a genius and an idiot. And I sort of net out at the end as just being sort of neutral. So, you know, stick along for the ride. Today's episode sponsored by TrustedPrenup.com. Check us out at TrustedPrenup.com. They are here to support all your prenup needs and the democratization of prenuptial agreements. We have a full docket today. We're talking Baldoni. We're talking JP Morgan sex slaves and dead or not dead parents. We get a little bit with therapy, Jeff. We got a whole full docket today. Let's get after it.
Jim, I got a question for you.
I hope I have an answer.
Do you ever get tired of being right all the time?
I don't. I really don't. I have to tell you. I say sometimes that I do because it's like one of those things you're supposed to say. Like, it's like, oh, stop it. But no, I absolutely love you.
It feels good every single
time. It doesn't feel bad. I'll say that. It doesn't feel bad. I mean, sometimes I'm right about things I wish I was wrong.
Yep.
Like, oh, God, I wish I was wrong about how this election's going to go. Or God, I wish I was wrong about how this case is going to end up or how this witness is going to do. But every once in a while, it's a rare thing. Usually I'm like, yeah, I saw that one coming. You know, it's really hard not to say that to people. You know, it's really hard.
I told you so is like the greatest thing in the world.
Anyone who says otherwise is lying. Yeah, it feels really good when you're right.
So what we're alluding to is the big news that the Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni case has been settled.
What?
You heard it here first from James J. Sexton.
I can't believe it. And with such a unbelievably predictably banal statement issued between them, you know, it really is like the absolute, you know, I have no specific recollection of any wrongdoing, although I acknowledge mistakes may have been made. Let's move forward past this unfortunate incident. Like, it's such a balanced out statement so that both sides can claim victory, which is exactly what I said was going to happen.
What you said, like verbatim. Yeah. So for people who might not know, if you're employed or not totally obsessed with the James Sexton universe, when we discussed this case last week, the comments were, you need to read up on this, educate yourself, justice for Justin, he's got a case, he's going to win. And your take was kind of, I think both sides are gearing up to settle.
Yeah, yeah. And not only are they going to settle, but they're going to settle in such a way that neither side's going to be able to claim victory. Mm-hmm. And I was very clear about that. And it was like, stay in your lane, Sexton, you don't know anything about this case. And it's clearly this or clearly that. And sure enough, it's exactly what happened, is that they settled the case. They settled it in, you know, with total non-disclosure and a joint statement that is so carefully crafted to make it look like, you know, we thank her for bringing this to our attention, and we all want an environment that's free from the unpleasant experience. Like, it's just garbage. It's like watching a presidential debate when you ask an incredibly straightforward question, like, do you support the Education Act and the privatization of, you know, funds for private school vouchers? And they invariably go, you know, I believe in children. And education is not just a privilege, it's a right. And I believe, and you're like, dude, you're not even vaguely. Like, if this was a cross-examination, I'd be like, Your Honor, I move to strike as non-responsive. But you're not allowed to do that in political debates, and you're not allowed to do that with carefully crafted PR statements. But that's exactly what happened. But the real rub of this is, I then went, because I couldn't resist, I went on Instagram to just say, like, hey, gang, in the comments, this is exactly what I told you was going to happen. And the comments from that are still, this was a win for Baldoni. This was a win for Blatt. I'm like, on what delusional planet do you reside that you see this kind of a, again, it really is a Rorschach test. It's nothing more than that. And the analogy I gave the first time I talked about this case was, I said, it's going to settle. And it's going to settle in this really ridiculous kind of way like this. They're going to issue a statement that every side is going to claim that they won, just like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, where both sides go, oh, yes, the system failed, or, oh, yes, I won. But, you know, they still got some things wrong. And neither of them ends up looking particularly good.
Had it even gone to trial, at this point, Baldoni's $400 million defamation was thrown out. 10 of her 13 claims, including the sexual harassment, thrown out. What would the trial even have been?
It would be for the entertainment of the people who have nothing else to watch.
They really are
all about watching these kinds of dramas, which, by the way, there are, like, go to the courthouse of the county in which you reside and watch a jury trial. Like, I guarantee it'll be more interesting than watching, like, the crap highlight reel of this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it really, like, courtroom dramas are amazing, and courts are generally open, so you can actually go and just sit in and watch court. Like, if you ever want to come to 60 Center Street, or you want to come to J Street in Brooklyn, or you want to go, you can come watch me try a case. It's open. You don't even buy a ticket. It's free. You just have to go through the magnometer, and you can go in and sit and watch a trial. That's it. Like, you're allowed to watch trials.
I was
going to
say,
fascinating.
James Sexton, this guy's going to, it's going to be like Beatlemania. Once he really pops, the courthouse going to be flooded.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Yeah, that would be really, really funny.
He gave you the address. We'll give
you
the schedule. Showing
up. Come on, gang. It's not hard. I like when people say that. They're like, you don't know, you know, they're like, where, I wish you were, you know, I wish I could come see you in court. I'm like, you can. It's the state of New York and the courts are open.
I'll have a whole poster board of bingo out there.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Your Honor, bingo. Yeah. He said each other.
You know, I used to say in this summertime, it was funny because in the summer, you know, all the judges have interns. And the interns are, and you can always tell that it's intern season because you get on the elevator and there's all these young, fresh-faced people instead of us exhausted-looking late middle-aged lawyers. And they're always like, you know, they're dressed like they look like a kid. Like the guys all look like a guy going to the prom. Like they're uncomfortable in their suit, you know, that kind of is ill-fitting.
They have a backpack on or something stupid.
The young women are just all like beautiful, but like a little overdressed. It's absolutely hilarious. But very conservatively dressed. They're all very conservatively dressed because they're working in a courthouse and they're working with a judge and they're interns. You know, they're not being paid. But what they always tell them to do is, oh, go watch what's going on. And it's always very funny because now in the age of texting, you know, 25 years ago, it was not like this. But now I will go into court and I'll have a hearing on. And there'll be like three interns in the jury box. And you'll just see them on their phones. And all of a sudden... They'll just start coming in and there's like 25, 30 interns. And I go like,
He's here.
Like, oh, Sexton's trying a case.
Yeah,
like, you want to come
baby.
Up? And it feels really fun because I actually laughed once. There was a judge. I can tell this story, I guess. There was a judge, he's retired now, who must have done his own interviewing for interns because it was just always gorgeous young women. Like it was law students and college students. It looked like a beauty pageant. Like it was and they would sit in the jury box and he was an old man. And it's not anything inappropriate. I guess he just liked looking at pretty girls.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're an adult heterosexual male having young girls say to you like, oh my gosh, you're so smart. It feels nice. Mm-hmm. So I remember I had a trial in front of this guy and I walk in and I look in the jury box and he just has four of the prettiest young women in their like early 20s. They're law students just sitting there ready to watch this trial. And I remember just looking over at that and looking at my partner, Colin, and leaning over and going, oh my God, the other side is so f***ed. Because I'm just going to put on such a show. Like I have an audience of like young, beautiful women. I am going to peacock like you've never seen. And I was just doing cross. Like, I'm like, now, isn't it a fact, sir? And I'm looking over at them like,
you see that? You see that, honey?
Legit, at one point, I think I winked at them, like in the middle of cross. Like I was just having so much fun performing. Because listen, we all do this. Like we all like to perform. And I just remember thinking like, oh, I wish the other side must have walked in and been like, oh,
no!
God, damn, it could be don't give Sexton an audience. This is terrible.
That's like the Knicks in some of their dark years. If Jordan or LeBron or Kobe came to the Garden,
you're putting on a show for the people.
You're like, God damn it, we're screwed.
I mean, I told you once before, I think I mentioned on the show that there was last summer, I think it was, I had this cross-examination ready to go. And there was a courtroom full of interns that had showed up to see it. And then we settled the case.
Didn't you do it anyway?
I called it like the legal equivalent of blue balls. Like I was like, I grabbed all the interns. I'm like, come on, we're going in the conference room. And I brought them all in the conference room and I did the cross-examination on one of them. I was like, you're the husband and this is that. Cause I was like, I did this thing and I gotta get it out. I gotta get this thing out. It's hilarious. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Out of Office Gummies by Soul. They are my superpower. They are my weekend getaway. They are my go-to. I can't say enough good things about him. Check out GetSoul.com, promo code Sexton for 30% off your first order. These are the THC and CBD gummies where you can really control your dosing. Lots of different choices, lots of different flavors, but nothing but quality. Family-owned business. I cannot endorse them happily enough. Remember, GetSoul.com, promo code Sexton, and also check out the QR code.
Before we move on real quick, TMZ is saying that they've been told no money changed hands at all.
It's possible.
Is that something TMZ would be able to find out?
I mean, what I'll tell you is you can find out a lot of things. Like, yeah, like the courthouses have more, you know, holes in them than Swiss cheese. Like, it's a lot of people that are just, you know, government employees and they have access to information. I mean, most of my clients, it's pretty under wraps that they've got divorced or that I've represented them. But every once in a while, something just gets leaked. I get phone calls from the press all the time saying, you know, can you comment on the fact that you're representing A, B, and C? And my staff knows, like, don't even put them through. We don't comment on cases, active or former cases.
You ever had a leak?
Yeah, we've had leaks. Yeah,
did you find who it was? Like, smoke out the rat?
Not out of my office. That's I've what never I mean. Had like, a leak. No, yeah, I've never had a leak in my office. No, people in my office absolutely know that, we are so insane about secrecy for clients that if someone calls and says, hi, I'm this person's manager or I'm blah, 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 they have an appointment on Tuesday at 2:00. Can you confirm that? We will not confirm it. We won't even confirm that we know who that person is unless we have specific authorization from our client that this is the number they're going to be calling from.
Right.
Like, I actually had a celebrity's brother call the other day from the celebrity's cell phone. Like, it came up on our caller ID, and my staff was smart enough to say, yeah, I'm sorry, we can't confirm, you know, any information. And they were like, we're calling from her cell phone. And she's like, I'm sorry, we can't. There's nothing we can. I can't give you any information about any of Mr. Sexton's clients. And that's it. And they later on, the client called back. It was like, yeah, that was my phone. And we were like, you can spoof from other numbers now using all kinds of like VPNs and things. Like, we're not going to let... You know, again, secrecy is the most important thing. I've had clients. It's actually funny. I was at an event, like a charity event, and a client who I represented for like 2 years in their custody case, an actor, was there, and I was ignoring him. Like, I just did not. And I'd spent hours with this person. And he comes up to me at like the end of the night and he's like, hey, man, are you upset at me? And I was like, no, not at all. And he's like, you didn't even say hello. And I was like, I don't know that people know
game,
that
brother.
We know each other. Yeah. Like, I don't know that people know anything about our relationship. I was waiting for you to say hello to me. And I would never, like, I've been out with my sons when they were younger and run into someone and they say hello and I say hello and I say, oh, this is daddy's friend, you know, or this is like, and because you can't say, oh, this is one of my clients. Like, you just don't say that. It's just not something we do. So our secrecy is an important piece of this. But yeah, the courthouses, offices, they sometimes have holes in them and they share information that they shouldn't share. TMZ has a unique ability to get info. And a lot of times it's right. And it's crazy because I've had them report on something in a case that I'm like, how did they know that? Mm-hmm. Like, how did they know that before we knew that? Like, they sometimes know things before we know them. I once had TMZ was talking about a decision in a case that we as the lawyers hadn't received yet.
Wow.
So we were like, how did they get this? They must have had somebody in the courthouse that got it for them before it was even uploaded to the court reporting system where it would be sent to the lawyer.
I'm sure it's like Littlefinger in Game of Thrones with his birds.
Dude, they got birds, their sparrows, spies, man. All over. Yeah. Only the latter is real.
All right, moving on. Man, you're just such a big dumb idiot on the internet getting things wrong, huh?
Yeah, that's me.
The J.P. Morgan case.
I got J.P. Morgan wrong. So see, it balances out. It balances out. I'm now just net neutral because, yes, I got J.P. Morgan wrong. I said in one of our last episodes talking about the J.P. Morgan case that the leave to amend or the withdrawal of the complaint so that it could be amended was likely a polite way for them to sort of exit stage right and not come back. In fact, they did file an amended complaint with like a myriad of other causes of action, even crazier.
Yeah, so the latest details are that Lorna Hydini was naked and sat on the couch where one of the alleged sex slave's buddies was sleeping. And she said, you want to go have a threesome? They now
this lady's a goer. If that's true, I have to tell you, she is a fun fun gal. That's all I'm going to say.
I would love a night with
yeah,
her.
I mean, this is
just
really,
one night. I don't want to,
wow,
you know, that's
is this
it.
Generational? But like, what's going on
she
here?
She is a yeah. dragon, man.
I mean, I by the way, my alternate theory on this
ooh.
Is that so much publicity came out of this that he couldn't possibly withdraw it now because it looks like it was a fabrication. So now they have to double down.
Well,
so it could be that I was right and they were going to withdraw, but then everything came out and now he's got to clear his name. But there's no way to know. It's an unfalsifiable premise. You know.
Now, the other detail is that he faked his father's death to get bereavement leave for 3 months during the time that he concocted this case.
So when I heard this... Aside from going, yeah, that's bad. That's not great. Like if I was doing my 8 Mile defense on that one, if I was representing this guy, that's like, a hard one to get around.
Yeah, it is.
It reminded me, and this is a true story. Let's settle in, kids, and get your popcorn. So early in my career, really quite early in my career. It was probably 23 years ago, 24 years ago. It was one of my first like big cases. And I was representing a guy who was a builder. So he used to buy houses, like beat up houses. This is before the subprime crisis. So this is like 2000, 2001, something like that. So the subprime crisis is like 2001, right? So it was around real before that time. I was just starting to practice. He would buy houses and he and his brother would fix them up and then they'd sell them. And it was amazing that like you'd fix a couple little things, change a few fixtures, paint the place, and you could sell it for $100,000 more. It was crazy because everybody at that point before the subprime crisis, their banks were lending money left and right. You could get a loan by just bringing in a piece of paper written in crayon. I make lots of money with lots spelled wrong. And the bank would be like, you're approved for $1 million mortgage. You'd be like, the house is only $500,000. Like, you're good.
Take the extra.
Just take the cash out. Buy something nice for yourself. Like, it was crazy. It was absolutely batshit crazy of an environment. So this guy did so well with flipping houses that he got it in his mind, oh, I'm going to buy a bunch of parcels of vacant land and subdivide them and sell and build houses on them. Now, zoning law is way more complicated than painting a house. And this guy learned very quickly the hard way when the subprime crisis hit. He was absolutely screwed. It was a house of cards he had built. Mm-hmm. So he started like selling properties to purchase or to pay the mortgages that were coming due on other properties. And then the divorce happened. The court froze all of his assets. Mm. And all of a sudden, the house of cards started to fall. So this guy was violating orders left and right. He was like selling properties he wasn't supposed to sell, that there were court orders saying you weren't allowed to sell. It got to the point where the judge actually said to him one day, if you sell another property, you will be like Edmond Dante. And the guy, like, he did not appreciate that my client had never read The Count of Monte Cristo. My client had read like two books and like both of them were coloring books. Like, this was not, you know, this was not a man of letters. And so making a reference to Edmond Dante, The Count of Monte Cristo, is not a good reference. But he basically said, you're going to need to pack a toothbrush because I'm going to send you to jail. He understood that. The next court appearance, he didn't show up. Now, I am apoplectic. I'm a young lawyer. My client doesn't show up. The court's going to issue a bench warrant, which basically says you failed to show up for a contempt hearing, and we're going to send police to get you. So I run out, get back to my office. I call this guy, and I'm like, I'm going to make up a name. Jack, what are you doing? Why didn't you show up for court today? He goes, Jim, my mom died. And I said, oh, my God. Jack, I'm so sorry. Jesus, I apologize. I said, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. Was she ill? He said, no, she wasn't. It was sudden. I said, my God, please go take care of your family. Go do what you have to do. I will let the court know. I write the court a letter. I've been advised by my client. No. I contacted today. His mother unfortunately died. You know, da da da. I send it. I'm like, you know, and opposing counsel was kind of obnoxious, like previously, like, oh, your client didn't show up. And I was like, I called her and I was like, oh, you know, his mom died. And she was like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. And I was like, hey, listen, none of us knew. About an hour goes by. I get a phone call from opposing counsel. She goes, I've got a bit of a problem. It's like, what? She goes, I told my client what you told me and what you told the court, which is that his mother died. And she was, of course, upset to hear it. This is her mother-in-law. So she called her mother-in-law, who picked up the phone. And I said, the mother-in-law picked up the phone. She said, yeah, like, I'm like, from the great beyond? Like, like I'll call my mom from that phone. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, she's not dead. And I said, you're sure? She said, no, she talked to her for about 20 minutes. So she's very much alive. I was like, is she in the hospital? And she's like, no, she'd apparently been in the hospital, but she's fine now. She's home. So I call my client. I'm like, what do you even say? I was like, Jack,
it's a miracle.
Has Lazarus been raised? Like, what happened here? And he goes, oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, she got to the hospital my understanding is that she died temporarily, but then they revived her.
God.
And I'm like, you're telling me she coded and then was revived? I said, yeah. I said, so when you talked to me and said your mother died, what you were saying is that your mother died momentarily, but at that time was fine. Like, she was home by then. And he's like, oh, I mean, technically, yes. I was like, no, it's not really technically.
Dead,
like,
or alive.
She's not dead. Like, you could say she was in the hospital and I was dealing with it. She was so ill that she coded and was pronounced dead briefly before not being dead and then going home. You could have told me that, but I wrote the court a letter in reliance on what you said, which is that your mother was dead. Your mother had died. You used the past tense when referring to her. And he was like, oh. Well, you should probably send a correction. I was like, thank you. Yes, I should probably.
Yeah, I will, in fact, get on that.
I will, in fact, send a correction. So that was not one of the highlights of my career as an attorney. But now I have to tell you, I'm glad it happened early in my career, because now when someone says, I'm sorry, my brother died, I go, like, and then was revived, or they're still dead? How are they doing now? No one has to date actually ever tried that one again with me.
So, yeah, I mean, this guy is not exactly the most reliable of accounts and witnesses here. He also
regards to his father. We don't, you know.
That's true. I mean,
not his sexual slavery, you know. Did he say his father was a sex slave and it turned out that was false?
His dad had no idea, by the way. They got in contact with him and he was like, I don't know what you're talking about, which is unbelievable. He didn't know about the faking the death. He didn't know about this case.
I'm not dead, but I'm not at all well. I'm mostly, technically, we're all dying in a sense. That's actually what I did. Like, I was sort of like, Your Honor, technically, we're all dying. You know, technically,
you're 1 second closer to death right now.
As a former hospice volunteer, I can tell you, we are all on a slow march to shuffling off this mortal coil and moving into the great beyond. We acknowledge mistakes were made.
There it is. And the last thing here, by the way, I was hoping that the Baldoni Blake Lively case was going to be the one we can, you know, ride through the summer on the show. It might end up being a
JP Morgan sex life case. You never know.
But one element of that I keep saying,
unless the guy's father dies again and then he gets an adjournment.
Wouldn't that be amazing if the guy
actually died?
I don't wish death, but man, that would be a great twist.
Yeah, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Yep. The boy who cried dead dad sex slave. Yeah.
Yeah. I know when you're in legal proceedings, a lot of times, almost all the time, you always say, shut the fuck up, right?
Yeah, shut the fuck up. But it's usually the best advice.
But is there any way that Lorna...
If you don't talk, you walk.
Is there any way that Lorna Hydini's silence is the silence deafening here? Like, if it was me and I was totally innocent...
I think it's tactical. I think that you want to be careful. I always tell clients, like, just loose lips sink ships. You gotta just keep your mouth shut. It's always better. I think a lot of times, a lot of my adversaries, particularly in the New York matrimonial bar, some of them really like trying cases in the press, especially when they're dealing with high-profile clients. And so the spouse of a high-profile client will leak to the Post or leak to the Daily News or leak to one of the other publications. We all have, like, people at different publications. You can tell who's with who because you could see how often they get quoted in that particular, you know, publication. And sometimes people try to weaponize the press to create settlement pressure. Good lawyers tell their clients, don't do it. It usually blows up in your face. You can get a gag order from the judge on it. Like, it can really, when it goes south, it goes so south so fast and so irreparably that it's just not worth the risk on that, unless you've got an absolute garbage case and it's just a Hail Mary pass.
I just feel like if there was truly no truth to this and I'm being called a sex slave master, I feel like I'd be inclined to to speak up. But I guess, you know, you have a lawyer telling you, shut up.
And will be used against you. That's the problem. And again, never explain. Your friends don't need it. Your enemies won't believe it. Nothing that you say is particularly admissible. All this preceding colloquy is just that. It's puffery. It's not binding. Only the things that are said under oath can get you popped for perjury. So there's really nothing. There's nothing of value to be gleaned from trying to win in the court of public opinion.
Last update for you on our update episode. Therapy Jeff is stepping away from the internet after finding himself embroiled in controversy. Let's play the clip of him.
This guy, I figured out he looks like a Muppet.
He does.
Doesn't he look like a Muppet?
Yes.
Like if you saw him, be like, four.
Like not a real human at all.
Yeah, not a real human at all.
I just want to let you know that I'm going to take a break. Posting my regular content right now feels inauthentic and weird.
His content's inauthentic and weird.
It doesn't feel in alignment with how I want to show up in any relationship, including parasocial ones. Everyone's telling me to just keep posting as usual and never talk about what just happened. That is not how I repair. It's making it harder for me to heal and learn and get all the lessons I'm supposed to get here. My body, my brain, my soul are all screaming at me to take a break. So that's what I'm going to do.
This was, by the way, after...
I'm just going to go out and just chase some pussy. I'm just going to go look at ladies' mammary glands because I love them.
It's so funny
because... enjoy them as a heterosexual male.
One of the comments talking about him. So all the scandal with this guy, Therapy Jeff, is that when talking about the CNN story about the Academy, he said, hey, if you're a man having these feelings... is there a help hotline you can call? And everyone's mad that the perpetrators
I think the underlying
of this...
thing about him, people being mad at him, is not justified at all.
Agreed.
I actually don't think it's just... I make fun of this guy because he came at me a few times and I just enjoy cultivating some enemies. But especially ones that are this guy. I also, too, my gay friends all think it's hilarious. They're all like, our culture is not your costume, sir. Like, knock it off.
So
like,
one of the comments was from, I'm assuming, a gay creator who has a problem with him. Yeah. And he goes on all these reasons why. There was also a thread where Jeff explained what hand job technique he prefers. And people didn't like that. Also.
He prefers
I guess it was a talk about hand jobs, and he was like, here's how I like my hand jobs.
I like mine with your mouth. That's insane. You have a preferred, like what?
It's a 40-year-old version.
And yeah, so maybe that's what's going on here, is he's trying to sound straight. But this one guy said he's listing all these problems he has with Jeff, and then he goes, not that it matters, but I also did not realize that Jeff dates women. I wrongfully made an assumption he was gay.
No one's
sexuality should be a topic of combo, but the way I trust men who predominantly date women is different than how I trust guys who date queer men.
Yeah, see, so, I don't accept that people's... So the manner in which one presents one's sexuality is important to credibility, I think, like on a particular topic. Like if an individual... Maybe I'm saying something controversial to say this, but I think the lived experience of an out gay man, the lived experience of a trans woman, the lived experience of a cisgendered, you know, assigned female at birth woman, like they're going to have different lived experience. Sure. I think that there is... You know, being a cisgendered white heterosexual male, I have a particular lived experience. And for me to then talk about, like, if I present, I mean, how is it not, if I was to come in and speak in like an Ebonics type of a tone, like that would be considered offensive. Okay. So a heterosexual presenting male talking in an effete, traditionally effete gay male cadence on a channel that is intended to appeal primarily to women. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of a like, oh, this is like your gay best friend. Like, this is why my gay male friends are all like, are you serious? Like, because it would be like if I came on the show and I was like, girlfriends, today on Better Call Sexton, we have a barn burner. Like, you kind of go like, oh, okay, cool. That's who this is. This is like, you know, my gay buddy, you know, like, and I have gay male friends who speak that way. I don't have any heterosexual male friends who speak that way. That's just not, just like most of my gay male friends don't talk like me. They don't have that very like, and again, I envy them. Theirs is a lot cooler, their presentation, as far as I'm concerned. Like they're able to sort of embrace the best parts of the masculine traditional and the feminine traditional. They can kind of play in both of those spaces in a way that heterosexual men are generally frowned upon doing so. I mean, I get called gay in the comments all the time. They're like, oh, this guy's secretly gay. Like, and it depends on the not in our comments, but like when I appear on like, you know, Lex, or I appear on any like traditional, whenever I did anything with Roll Polo or Mike Sartain, people are like, this guy's got some gay on him. And I'm like, all right, dude, I don't even know what that means. Like that I've actually, like that I've got bathed, some gay on you. I don't know what it is.
Like it's a ketchup stain on your shirt. Like, you got like, some gay on you.
Like, I'm like, did that guy on my ear? Oh, all right, never mind. So, like, is this, there's something about Mary? Call,
yeah.
We were just comparing our preferred handjob technique. I can't believe it. Like, what the... That's all Jeff and I were doing that day. I can't. This is not how I repair, guys. I'm sorry. But I mean, listen, I wish Jeff the best. In all seriousness, I don't know this guy. He took some swipes at me. I've taken some swipes at him. I think it's unfair when people come at you. It feels, I've had people come at me, but I guess because of what I do, I'm not a therapist, right? Like, I'm used to people hating me. That's part of the job. Like what the other side usually hates me. And sometimes like the judge hates me. Like there's always a few people in the case that hate me. And so I have a very defined sense of self and I'm comfortable with people not liking me. As a therapist, and obviously this is an emotional person. This is an empathetic person. A lot of his content, even the stuff I disagree with, it's coming from a place, I believe, of authentic feelings and empathy. And so it's got to be really hard for someone like that when people come at you, especially your own audience, you know? But the problem is, like, this is the problem with having an audience that's so big on canceling people, is eventually they're going to come at you. And if you're not the kind of person that can handle that, it's going to be very difficult for you. So I really do wish the guy the best. He's got a big audience. And even the people that I swipe at, like I said, I don't wish ill for those people. They have an audience. If he's giving people something of value and it's making them a little kinder towards each other, fine. If it's making them a little more judgmental, that's unfortunate. I think the world's at a net negative because of his content, if that's what it's doing to people. But I don't think it's helpful to go at a guy to the point where he's, you know, like wants to leave the internet for a while. But again, let's see how long this is. How many content creators do the like, that's it, I'm stepping away. And then a week later, they're back. And you're like, absolutely. Well, that was a hell of a short trip. Like, you didn't really step away that far. How much repair could you have done in that
absolutely.
Time?
Drop your favorite hand job technique.
Matt really
in the
wants
comments.
To know your favorite hand job. Is there like what would that
well,
be?
You like could do like the
straight hand.
You could do the pepper cracker.
Pepper
you know?
Cracker.
You
okay.
could go like an upside down.
Wow, this is. I'm writing this down. This is all really. I think those are all masturbation techniques you're describing right now. That's
isn't
not,
that all we're doing? We're just I giving mean, ourselves hand jobs.
See, that's the thing about it is I feel like a hand job. That's the problem. I could do that myself. What do I need help with that?
That's great.
Well, this devolved quickly.
Let's wrap it up before it gets any worse. Yeah.